All right, so let's sit down now and talk with the Penn State, the Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics at Penn State, Sandy Barber. Sandy, it's great to be with us. In the end, you know, was there a turning point? What really swung it for you in terms of the ability to then tell the Big Ten presidents that you had what you needed and the information they needed to make this decision to move forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been pretty well documented that that we really, if you talk about, if you look at the main points, the main protocols, the main areas that that we looked at, it was around data, it was around testing, it was around contact tracing, which really correlated almost perfectly with testing, and then finally the cardiac protocols. And I do think, Steve, that that the turning point. And it's really the one thing that is massively different than where we were on August 11th, and that's the testing. And that's the point-of-care rapid antigen testing. Its availability to us, what the ability then to test daily, and what that means for contact tracing, what it means for infection level, what you actually find in the test, and frankly, what the test that we're projecting to use actually discovers them because you're doing it daily. It identifies, I shouldn't say discovers, it identifies individuals who have the infection but are not yet infectious, and that's a game changer. And at the point where we knew we had more than one option for the antigen testing, to me, that was what you're talking about in terms of we knew we could take it to the chancellors and presidents. But I also felt really good about them when we had that. I felt really good about them saying yes.
There is no doubt that if there are two people on the face of the earth that know the passion of Penn State fans, it would be you and probably somebody like me. And when they're in that stadium, they make it rock, roll, make a difference in the whole deal. How much of a difference can they make right now by staying away and giving everybody an opportunity? Because the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans just went through their game last Thursday. Both teams came out with a negative test. But they did have fans in the stands. And it turned out that somebody was positive, and now 14 people have to quarantine. I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Steve, because although this is a great celebration of a return to Big Ten football, and you know, on top of our mostly in our hearts, obviously Penn State football, it's really important that our fans know and understand that. That this was done with the safety of our communities in mind as well. And right now in our states, in our 11 states in the Big Ten footprint, it's just not a good idea to bring large crowds together. And so we're asking our fans to continue to be passionate, to connect with our student athletes on social media and more traditional ways, and certainly be supportive. And our marketing department is hard at work at ways that fans can have a presence in the stadium virtually. So stay tuned for that. But in terms of coming to State College or trying to tailgate on campus or packing bars in State College, I certainly want our bars and restaurants to have business. But we need to do responsibly. We wanted to return to sport, return to football, because that's something that's part of who we all are. But we have to do it responsibly, and so I certainly ask all of our fans to let's commit to making this work. And there are going to be sacrifices for our student athletes in doing that, and being able to play every week, every Saturday. And there are going to be sacrifices for our fans. They're going to be sacrifices for me. I'm probably because of the protocols and everything else, not going to be able to make every game and not do it in the same way that I typically do. But what's important to me is the ability of our student athletes to play, and I'm going to do whatever they ask me to do to make sure that they can stay safe.
The first time through, and I'm talking about the summer, and there weren't, obviously the student population wasn't here in mass that we have now, but they did prove their commitment to this as student athletes. They're really dedicating themselves to making sure they could do whatever they could to make sure that when a test came out, it would be negative. How important now is the responsibility of everybody, coaches, staff members, and student athletes, to make sure they do everything they can so this can work?
Well, it's huge, Steve. But the fact of the matter is that has been a responsibility of our student athletes from day one. We started out in June. We had great success for about 10 weeks. With our six or seven programs that were with us this summer, that were on campus, I mean, we had really, really good success from a test, a very low test positivity rate. As all of our teams came back, as the campus, all of our students came back, we encountered some challenges, just like the campus did. We've had a couple of weeks of testing that have been pretty high, not out of control, but they've been high, certainly higher than we want them to be. But we also know, since our testing results lagged a week, we know that we've kind of gotten that under control, and we've got some test results coming next week that are much better. But whether we're playing or not playing, that has always been a responsibility of our student athletes, our coaches, our staff, all of us, to kind of set the bar and set the pace for the entirety of campus and the entirety of our community. But certainly now, as we take that step to go and compete, which obviously is going to entail some travel, it's going to entail a little bit more activity. Again, I really ask our fans to make really good decisions and be smart about their activity. Do we want you to watch games? Of course we do. But let's do it at home with your family pod. We know our Penn State family pods are pretty passionate. So our students now, I think, particularly our football student athletes, have a little more motivation than they did 4 or 5 days ago. The responsibility has always been there, because we can talk about testing, we can talk about all these other mitigation factors, but the fact remains that the single most important thing we need to try to do is reduce the infection rate, period. Let's not get it.
Exactly.
And then we don't have to worry about the test positivity rate.
Exactly. The NHL right now is close to the Stanley Cup final, but that also means that it will be too close to the next season. The NBA won't finish up until, because of their circumstances, until October. They probably can't play until maybe Christmas or maybe after Christmas. By having the Big Ten have the ability to attempt to do this now, what does that do to potential normalcy of schedule for everybody across the board for 2021?
Well, Steve, it gives us a better chance. One of the really tricky and challenging parts of trying to play either late and into early 2021 was its proximity to September of 2021. And just like lots of things in all of our lives, we want it to return to normalcy as quick as it can. And we want to give 2021 the opportunity to be as normal as possible. So kind of getting back onto a normal fall season that doesn't look at this point that it will extend further than a normal season one would, by maybe more than a week or so. That can be adjusted through spring ball easily, and leave 2021 to look as normal as the virus will allow us to.
All right. And of course, others, I know you were asked about this earlier today, but other people have asked about fall sports. The NCAA wants to conduct those championships in the spring. So does that keep those sports on a spring path?
Yeah. So the NCAA actually finalized the structure for those championships for our fall sports to be conducted in the spring. They finalized that yesterday. So that's where it will be. I think the Big Ten is looking at having all of that competition for women's volleyball, field hockey, our two soccers, and cross country, because of its intersection with indoor and outdoor track, is a little bit different. Obviously, it's got another layer of complexity to it. I think the Big Ten is looking to have all of their competition in the fall. In the spring. But we do have to, the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC, those sports are having some competition now. So we have to take a look at that just to make sure that we understand how it all intersects. And we certainly want our programs, you know, all of those programs for us are nationally ranked, competing for national championships. We want to make sure that we put them in the very best position to continue to do that, even in this very strange year where their championship will be held in the spring.
Basketball was also announced yesterday as well. Not all the details, but enough details. And instead of November 10th, men's and women's basketball can start November 25th. That means they can go the 8 hours starting on Monday, and then the 14th they can go to the full practice. You can end up with 27 regular season games, then plus whatever tournament goes. How did you feel about the NCAA decision on that, especially with some of the flexibility they built in?
No, I thought it was a really smart one, Steve. I know there had been some conversation about the 21st and of November, and if that's what it was, we would have lived with it. But we've got to figure out indoor sports have another. Layer of complexity to that as well, and right now with the governor's guidance, the governor's orders, we've got some challenges there. Our students are going to leave campus on the 20th. Our student body is going to leave campus on November 20th. So the 25th allows us to return to what I've talked to Pat and Carolyn about, kind of our bubble-like, L-I-K-E, bubble-like environment. And I think it gives us that, along with the testing, gives us a really good shot of making this work.
You appreciate every fan. You appreciate every donor. How important have they been, and how important will they be moving forward to make sure Penn State stays on the footing it needs so it can do what it can for its student athletes?
Yeah, I mean, we've got 850 student athletes, and they know that they represent the greatest university in the world with 700,000 living alumni. No one else has that. But it's also not just the number and the size of the number. It's the passion of each one of those 700,000 individuals. And they feel it every day. They feel the support in so many ways, whether it's financial support or whether it's 107,000 folks in Beaver Stadium or a packed Pagula or Rec Hall or Jeffrey Field or whatever it happens to be. And we know we together are in financially challenging times. We know that there are individuals and families that are challenged. I mean, our country is challenged right now economically. And so we're those that are able, we're certainly going to need the support. I mean, the one thing that we don't want to have happen is have the coronavirus linger for years and years and years because of the way we've had to address the 2021 financial challenges. And so we're gonna need our alums and our donors and our fans to all help us out in any way that they're able. And I hope that they'll also ask us, when they're in need, how can we help them? Whether it's the opportunity to see a smile from our student athletes that hopefully cheers everybody up, or a note, or the opportunity to see our student athletes put the blue and white on and play, because I know that brings a big smile to my face, no matter what else is going on.
Finally, I think most people would describe this as a roller coaster. You've been working the entire time trying to somehow get to a resolution and the next step. So what has the roller coaster been like for you?
Steve, it has been that. It's been a roller coaster, and I've I've had conversations with our student athletes as a student athlete body, and with our staff and our coaches. And, you know, early on, I really found myself falling prey to the ups and downs of the roller coaster, and I kind of got a little whipsawed with it. But, you know, at some point, I felt like I needed to make peace with what the worst thing might be. And at that point, obviously, it was not playing. And boy, I would say that took me several weeks to come to peace with. And I said, all right, well, that, you know, that'll really stink. But if that's the worst thing, but everybody's healthy and we can kind of see our way through it to next year, then we just got to go to work and make sure that we do everything we can to prevent that. You know, are there things we can do from a medical and a protocol standpoint that mean it's safe for us to do this? And that really came true in this march back to competition. You know, August 11th was a really difficult day. And I'm not going to tell you it happened on August 11th, but maybe 5 a.m. August 12th, I got up and I'm like, okay, we're going to beat this thing. And we're going to figure out a way. And that's when I raised my hand and volunteered to be on. I didn't really volunteer to co-chair it, but I volunteered to participate, and I ended up being the co-chair of the Return to Competition Task Force for the Big Ten. And, man, we just went to work. And it was Jim Borchers, who you've already mentioned from Ohio State, is a total pro, and the folks from our Infectious Disease Task Force and our Mental Health Task Force and trainers and team physicians. And obviously I'm here at Penn State interacting with Wayne Sebastianelli and all of our trainers. It's been fantastic.
And because of all that collaborative work, Jack Ham and I get to say touchdown Penn State. All right.
There you go.
Looking forward to uttering those words. Sandy, thanks so much. Appreciate that, and appreciate you very much.
All right, Steve. Great to connect. Let's keep doing it. Hopefully we'll keep delivering good news.